takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, joined by Madison Cruz. Tonight, we're talking soccer in Atlanta. We're talking soccer in Georgia. We're talking soccer in the United States. We're talking soccer right now in Ecuador, because that's what's on my TV. We're talking soccer in Europe. We're talking soccer all over the place. It's what we do on AST. This is a busy one because we had a match 2 days ago, and we have a match for Atlanta United tomorrow night. And then 2 days after that, there's another match. It's a busy time for the Five Stripes. It's a busy time in MLS. We'll talk about all of that as we go tonight. Club World Cup right around the corner. There's a play-in game on Saturday night to see who's coming to Atlanta to play Chelsea. Sold-out crowd at BMO Stadium. We'll get into Club America and LAFC. But, Maddie, we will start with Atlanta United. A big win on Sunday night. We've talked about where Atlanta United has been for a long time and what needed to change and what could change and what you hope to see change. We've seen some changes tactically, and I think the last two matches we've seen some of that pay off, and hopefully we'll see some increased confidence tomorrow night as Orlando comes to town.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, and you'll hear from Ronnie Dyla, obviously, as I had the chance to speak with them at media after training today, but it's something that he said to me when I asked him, you know, he talked about the painting and how it's, you know, it's a painting, you're completing it, you're trying to pick a color, you're trying to make something fit. And it's, you know, I think you're getting close to the completed thing. You're fitting the puzzle that fits what this group needs. And I think you found that. I think you found it in the way that the formation is. I think you found it with which tools you can utilize, not only how it helps the players who are going to be starting, but also the players who come in and be effective off of the bench. Because we saw that too on Sunday as well, with Matheus Klich delivering a beautiful ball to Jamal Traoré, who made the run to make it 4-2 as well. I mean, you look at the players that can not only be impactful in the starting lineup, but also the players that are impactful when they come off the bench, and how this formation utilizes, I think, everybody, and how you're seeing it all collectively come together. I think there are obviously things that obviously still need to be tweaked a little bit. I mean, you just look at some of the defending in those moments on set pieces, that has to be a little bit cleaner, especially going up against Cincy and going up against Orlando tomorrow. But I think you're starting to see the building blocks of what this team can be. And listen, if Sunday's any indicator, I'm excited, because it was a great performance. I think just for me, I love players, and I love a team that fights. And that's something that we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, of wanting to see that. And we saw that on Sunday. And that is what I think is the most important thing to take out of.
Yeah, you saw that in a few different ways. We will talk about the collision with Lotte Lott and Nick Haglund in just a second. Cincinnati fans, you can go ahead and mute the radio for a little bit if you're waiting for our takes on that one. I want to talk about the fight in a sequence that ended up leading to a goal. It was a moment where Jay Fortune had a pass that was a turnover, not on the same page. I don't even remember who his intended target was, but he passes. It's turned over. He immediately steps to press the ball, doesn't give up on the play, doesn't drop off on the play either. And his pressure forces a really bad wayward pass back. I think it was Buka who passed it back, intended to get to Celentano. Ends up going over the end line. Ends up being a corner kick that Atlanta converts on. That kind of stuff is so important. I felt like very early on, the team was dropping off a lot and letting Cincinnati play a little bit too much. Maybe that was something that was talked about during the injury break when Haglund was down and the team had a huddle on the field, because it felt like after that, it wasn't crazy reckless high pressure, but it was very smart pressure from Lotte Lott, from Miguel Almiron, and made life just that bit much more difficult for Cincinnati. And I think it ended up really helping Atlanta on the night. That kind of fight, not purely what we saw with the collision with Lotte Lott and Haglund, but the intelligent fight to try to win the ball back. I think we saw it enough to where that has to be a component for Atlanta United going forward for good now.
Yeah, you just have to hassle. Like, it is just the idea of, okay, if I don't have the ball, I'm still going to be composed even if I don't have it. And I'm going to try to win it back every chance I get. And I think we saw a lot of that in the first half. I think the first 15 minutes, it kind of felt a little bit awkward trying to get back into it. But then I think once since he got that first goal to kind of come back into it, I think it clicked back on again immediately, because I think you want to see that high press. That's how Ronnie Dyla wants his team to play. And there were even moments just watching him on the touchline. He was motioning forward, go forward, yep, trying to put more of that high pressure up there, because that's what you want. You want to have that, because then you put Cincy in a position where they have to make a decision, because it's like, oh, I have someone coming at me. Where am I going to go? Am I going to pass it back? Am I going to go forward? And then you create kind of that moment of, oh, what am I going to do? And you make them second guess it. And you want to keep that high pressure. And I think it's something we've talked about all season is, you know, the performances coming out of second half. I think Sunday, we saw a little bit of that, but I think you saw a team that was able to claw their way back into it when you did have that fatigue a little bit, but they were able to claw back into it and they were able to come out with a dominating performance at the very end. And I think that's what counts too, is how you overcome those moments. You want to make that more consistent all the way through 90, but you saw the first 15 of the second half, it was a little flat, but they were able to crawl out of it and they were able to get the job done. And that's what you want to see.
Yeah. The way they bounced back after conceding both times is good. I think there were some really good elements with that. Before we get into Bartosz Szlich and his comments today and Ronnie Dyla, let's talk about Latte Lott and let's talk about Nick Haglund. Nick Haglund, I believe, is on his way back to Cincinnati now, yep, after he was in the hospital for a couple of days. A very freak collision between Latte Lott and Haglund ends up leading with a collapsed lung and rib damage. Collisions happen in soccer, especially when a defender is trying to screen off a player pressing the ball. We go back to pressing and the need for it. There was a lot made of this from whether we're talking about the commentary team on Apple TV, because it was shown again in the second half. It was looked at by VAR. There was no intervention from VAR. It was seen by the referee crew. They did not deem it to be a foul, let alone any card. So this wasn't missed. It was talked about on Apple TV. I talked about it when I saw the replay come up. It was talked about on social media a lot by a lot of different folks, and maybe a fanning of flames from some accounts out there, just saying. And ultimately, the disciplinary committee doesn't say a word about it today. I hate it for Nick Haglund, who's a very good professional and a player who had to battle back from injury already this season, coming back from a broken leg last year. I hate it for Nick Haglund, but there's nothing in the sequence outside of an ordinary collision when you have one player trying to screen off another. And I'll repeat something that's come up that we've all talked about. We've wanted to see this team be more physical. We've wanted this team to be, you know, a little more hard-nosed at times. Well, when somebody's trying to block you off from pressing the ball and you run through that person, I think that's kind of what we've wanted to see at times from this group. You don't want to see people get hurt, but you can't stop playing because the defender tries to screen the ball from one of your players. I think Latte Lott did everything correct. Yeah, his arm comes up. He's not throwing an elbow. His arms come up because you're running into somebody protecting yourself. I think trying to make any more of it is a reach. And I think there's been some pretty frustrating behavior in terms of fanning those flames that have occurred to where now Latte Lott is being painted with a brush of being a dirty player, which is so far from the truth. It's not even funny.
No, I think that's the part for me where I'm most frustrated with the situation, is that it's one of those things. It's exactly like what you said. It's a collision between both players. They're trying to get the ball, and it's Haglund stepping in front. We had the conversation too. I mean, we talked about it earlier today as well when we were at media, just me and you chatting. In the laws of the game, it is stated about obstruction is, yeah, when a play, I'm reading this directly from, like, yeah, from website. It's what happens when a player deliberately obstructs an opponent by stepping in front of them when the ball is a couple feet away. That is obstruction.
If there's a foul in the sequence, it's on Haglund for blocking Latte Lott when he's not playing the ball.
Exactly. And so, but like that, besides the point in anything like that, I think when you watch the play, I think everyone is focusing very heavily on the arm swinging. When you look at the play, Hagelin steps in front trying to obstruct Latte Lath. Latte Lath, we know as a player, you see that bouncing ball. How many times have we seen Latte Lath win those balls and are able to go for to make the other play? That's exactly what he's doing. He ends up, he's trying to get around him in that way, and it's just the collision between two players. I think where I get upset is the discord of painting Latte Lath like he is this villain and he is a dirty player and he and everything. Like, that is uncalled for. That is absolutely uncalled for. And frankly, I think it's like, I don't understand where you're coming with that. Like, I don't get it. And I don't understand why you're trying to paint this image, because just personally, chatting with Latte Lath, I mean, the nicest guy, the nicest player I think you will ever meet. And to be painted that way and to have that be what's being said right now, I think it's uncalled for. And I think it's, and I think so, I said this before, I think people need to go touch some grass, go outside, enjoy the view, have some time in nature. It's very nice. It can be very loving. That's what you need to do, because to try to paint Latte Lath like he is some horrible person for what happened, and it is a very horrible situation what happened to Hagelin.
The injury is horrible, but that doesn't make Latte Lath a horrible player or a dirty player or throwing a cheap shot, some of the different language that's been used.
I completely agree with you, and I think that's the thing here. And I think what's happening is it's everyone trying to call for it to be looked at again as well by the league too. It's, you're not looking at the actual play. You're looking at what happened after the play. You're looking at the injury that happened after the play. And that's not how that happens. And that isn't what happens. And again, I'm very happy and I'm very glad to hear that he's going back to Cincinnati today as well. That is very good to hear as well. And everyone here with Atlanta and Cincy and everyone who helped him out in this process, thank you so much again. Like, that, the quick response there was, it's good. That's what you want to see. But I don't like the image that people are painting Latte Lath as this dirty player, because he is not. He is not a dirty player. He is not. He is a very, very good player, and he's a very kind player, and he's a hardworking player. And
he's a powerful player. And that's the other element is, you know, we've talked about his speed, we've talked about his pace. If you're gonna try to block him off from a run, he's one of the fastest players in the league, and he's not a small lad, you know, like, you're gonna get hit by him if he's running at full speed, and he got to full speed pretty quick in the situation, and it's a heavy collision that was initiated by Nick Hagelin, and that's his job and that's part of his game too. And he's gotta try to protect the ball for his team in that situation, but it's not a foul. If anything, the foul on the field would have been called on Hagelin if it had been called. It's a no call that we see pretty commonly. I talk about this a lot in terms of obstruction. I feel like the rule is basically being lost in the rule book at this point. It's something that used to get called very tightly. It's not anymore, whether it's a set piece or whether it's run a play like this. It's something that I do think should get called more, because I don't like the screens and pick plays and those sorts of things that are just now very, very common. One reason I don't like it is because of these kinds of situations, because if I'm the coach, I would never want Latte Lath to back off of trying to get to that ball. He has to press it. Like we talked about earlier, you have to press the opponent. If you drop off and you let them play, you're going to be defending the whole time and you're probably going to concede. And we've seen that a lot for Atlanta United this season. You have to press. You have to close down the ball. And when somebody who's not on the ball tries to block you off of that, you can't give up. And that's what happened in this situation. And it's unfortunate the injury happened the way that it did. Any characterizations that have tried to turn this into something else, frankly, I just think are incorrect. And where it's gotten kind of outlandish after the fact, it sounds like there's history between the referee and the Cincinnati fan base that I don't know the whole story with that, but that feels like it's a little overblown. This was a situation that was looked at by the referee, by the assistant referees on the field. The fourth official also had eyes on it. The VAR looked at it. The AVARs looked at it. I don't know if the disciplinary committee looked at it. I'm sure Pro talked about it. No one has come out outside of one fan base to say that it's anything other than a soccer collision. So I don't know what else to say. It's a very frustrating thing that we even have to continue talking about it because if it had been called a foul, or honestly, frankly, if there hadn't been an injury, I don't think we'd be talking about it at all in any form right now. And it's unfortunate that this is where it is. It's unfortunate that we took up a lot of time in the segment talking about it because we didn't get to Bartosz Szlich or Ronny Dyla. So after the break, you're going to hear from Bartosz Szlich. You're going to hear from Ronny Dyla from media today. We're also going to get caught up on the latest in Club World Cup land and everything else going on around the world. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.